Blog Talk Radio.
You know what I think heaven is? I think heaven is you. You know that? Listen. A place where I can find happiness. A place close to your loveliness. Somewhere to rest my aching mind. Oh, well, there's no time. Your love is divine.
Hello, everybody. What's up? This your boy, K. Biddy. You listen to I Am ND. I thought we'd just start off the show with something a little different. The OG group, you know what the Ohio players. Heaven must be like this, because you know what time it is. Heading into the holiday month, so hope y'all got some money. Hope y'all ain't spent too much on foolishness, and if you did, save a little bit something for me. But anyway, we gonna keep it moving with something like this, something special. We got this young man named Riz in the studio live with us today, you know, to share his music all the way from Nigeria and around the world. But we're going to let him tell you a little bit about where he's from and all his good stuff, because he knows about him. A little more about him than I do. But he's going to be live, and we're going to let him know, let you know, let us know what we're going to do. Riz in the building.
Yeah, what's up? What's going on, people?
Yeah, welcome to the show, man. We've been hearing a lot of positive things about you. And, shoot, I can't wait to let the world hear what you're working with right here, too.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Lamar. Appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. It's our pleasure, man. You know, tell us a little bit. I know, you know, if I had the opportunity to read a little up on you, but tell the people a little bit about where you are, man. Where you come from.
Well, I come from Nigeria, by the way of Amsterdam, the Netherlands, born and raised in Nigeria, also grew up in the Netherlands, but I've been into music since I was a kid, you know, choir, you know, us black folk, music is in our bones, and it's up to you to decide whether you want to explore it or not, and I chose a route to explore it, you know, so I've been in music since I was a kid, you know, choir in church, and I've been writing songs since I was a kid. I moved out to the United States to LA, actually, for college, you know, and I'm decided, you know, I made a pact with my parents that once I graduate, I can, as long as I have a degree, I can follow, you know, pursue whatever I want to pursue. So
okay.
I accomplished that, you know, gave them that plaque on the wall, and have been, you know, following music ever since. And my just released single actually features Pitbull. It's been a big hit for me, and I've been very blessed with that. So I'm very thankful to all fans for supporting.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear you did the first things first. You know, you had your parents' wishes first. We went on and took care of that so you could pursue your dreams. And that's important. That's very important that you were able.
Sure. Definitely. And they put you on this world, so you got to make sure, you know, to get things first.
Definitely, man, definitely. You know, we are, I think we all are representative of our parents. You know, so tell me a little bit something about your experience with your single. I mean, with it, was that your first collaboration?
Yeah, that's my first, you know, major collaboration. It just so happened that Pitbull and I were on the same label, Ultra Records, which is like the number one electronic dance music label in the world. So we happened to be on the same label, and we met each other, and we talked about the records. You know, I played, he came to the studio, he heard the beat, and he was like, he had a record, and I guess everything there is history, you know. It's garnered over 30 million spins on YouTube, done shows all over the world for it, and it's been pretty good. He supported me because we're, you know, label mates at the time. Now he's moved on to bigger and better things, but I still appreciate the fact that he supported me on that record. That record has been known pretty well, so, yeah.
All right. Well, we want our listeners to put their ears on this and start dance with me. Riz and Pitbull.
Yes, sir.
My man, KD, putting it down. I am indie. Check it out.
But the good thing about that is I actually spoke with Lamont Dozier. Lamont Dozier.
It's an old friend.
Eddie Holland, yeah. I spoke with him. I played the record for him. They liked it. Eddie Howe actually gave me his approval on the record and said, you know, it's dope. If he was going to have a remake, then that's a good one, you know, to go with. So I got his blessing on the record before I even put it out. So,
oh, that's fantastic. You got blessed by some great guys, man. They have to be personal friends of mine.
Oh, man.
See Brian playing chess all the time. He's one of my chess
players.
Yeah,
they're icons, man. I mean, I grew up listening to everything they bring, you know, so it was amazing, you know, feeling to actually bring everything full circle, you know, and my, like, you know, my biggest project, you know, had to kind of reach back, you know, kind of paid homage to the music I learned. I listened to growing up with my parents, you know, Supremes, you know, every Motown record, you know. Yeah, it was great working with them.
Yeah, that's great guys, man. Great guys. So what would you feel, what would you tell us is, I guess, what would be your favorite genre of music? What do you like? More your hip hop? What would be your style? What do you listen to?
Well, first of all, I don't listen to anything on the radio because that format is kind of whack right now. Being that I've lived in Africa and Europe and now here, my iPod is filled with, you know, music from, you know, Afrobeat to, you know, electronic dance music. I mean, I was signed by an electronic dance label, Ultra Records. But I'm still listening to hip-hop and R&B, you know. I mean, you can't be black and not have, you know, that feeling of R&B and, you know, soul music and hip-hop. You know,
right.
That's like in your DNA. But traveling around the world and living in different cultures have exposed me to all kinds of music that are not inherently black music.
Right.
You know, so I cannot really, you know, classify my music. I've written reggae songs. As a writer, you can take an honor of whoever you're writing for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beauty of being a writer, as opposed to just an artist that has his own lane, so to speak. I've written, you know, work for Britney Spears, you know, for Sean Kingston, you know, and then coming back to work for Akon. So it kind of runs the whole gamut.
Right.
You know? I just write whatever I feel, you know, at that moment. And whatever music is inspiring me, I write to it. So it could be a dance record, or it could be a hip-hop beat, or it could be R&B or pop, whatever. I just try to make it feel good, you know.
And that's great, man, because what I'm hearing is you have more of a worldly sound than a sound that just comes from your neighborhood. You know, a lot of artists, you know, hear their music. They're just from what they hear and what they listen to, but they really don't have the benefits of having music from all over the world, to color their sound, you know.
That's true. I mean, I consider my neighborhood to be the whole world.
Living
in Africa and Europe and America, it's kind of like my neighborhood. You know, I spent considerable time living in these places. I mean, I speak like 5 languages, so... Once you start speaking a language of a place, that becomes your neighborhood. No matter whether it's Japanese or Cantonese, whatever, that becomes your neighborhood. So yeah, those influences have crept into my music and influenced, you know, what I write and what I sing and what I produce.
Oh, man, that's just fantastic. I just learned something else about you. Speak 5 languages, man. I'm trying to get to Happy Bonics. You got 5 languages?
I'm just trying to learn Bonics, you know, so I'm still trying to
smell it. Yeah, man, just trying to get past that. But listen, I'm going to queue up another song for you. We're going to be right back and talk to you a little bit more, man. I'm going to play some of the... Y'all sit and stay. Call the number 347-308-8747. Call in Hollywood. He ain't scared of you.
I ain't scared.
Wonder if God made a copy.
Yeah, we're back live in the building with Red. That was Summer Love. Just had the pleasure of putting your ear on. Call the number 347-308-8747. Call in. You know, you got some questions. Don't be scared, because I got some questions, too.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about that, Rez. I mean, I know it's summertime, but was that a summer song?
Well, I actually wrote that song over last summer. My wife and I actually went to Saint-Tropez, south of France, just to relax and, you know, just being there and, you know, being in love and, you know, just loving our family, loving our friends, loving, you know, all the blessings from God. I wrote the song Summer Love. You know, it's a beautiful place, beautiful white sand beaches, clear blue water, and it's just inspirational. I look around me for inspiration, and that location inspired the song. So I hope, you know, I have to gear, you know, up for release in 2014 summer. You know, hopefully that's going to be the summer jam in 2014. Yeah.
Yeah, that had pops off like a, I don't know, not really a calypso beat. What would you call that?
I'll call it a bit of a tropical, you know, a bit of a southern, because, you know, the place where it was so hot and humid, you know, South France, you know, so it had a bit of a tropical feel.
Right, that's what I'm feeling. That's a lot of verbalize it, but I know I kind of felt that, you know.
Yeah, I just want you to envision, like, you know, beaches and water, you know, and, like, clear blue water, sand, you know, a coconut, pina colada type stuff. You know, that's kind of my frame of mind when I wrote and produced that song. You know, so I hope I translated that, you know, through the song to the listeners. So when you listen to it, hopefully you can share what I had, what I experienced over the summer.
Oh, cool. I understand also that you have some traditional African music. I'm sorry we don't have a guest with us today, but I understand that you produce some traditional African stuff. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Only reason I'm asking is because we worked on this film, The Visionary Story. The young ladies happen to be from Africa, so we look at some traditional African music.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything such as a traditional African music, you know. I just feel, you know, if you're African, whatever music you make is traditional African music. If you're traditionally African, you know, because it's coming from an African perspective.
Let me be a little bit more specific. When I speak of African music, I'm thinking about more heavy drumline.
The rhythm.
The rhythm, yeah. The more the rhythm. Yeah. I'm thinking more rhythmic.
And that's definitely, the whole vision for that was that I've been, you know, in the States for about a decade now, just working on the music and, you know, doing my craft. And I felt, you know, with the record with Pitbull, I, you know, proved myself in terms of the mainstream music, you know, level, in terms of my colleagues out here, my peers in the music industry. And I felt I can never be complete until I reach back to where I'm from, you know, and do something that's, you know, deeply, you know, to quote you, traditional, you know, traditional African music. So that's what I'm working on right now. I should have something, you know, probably the next time we're probably going to hear something. But right now, I'm still cooking, still in the oven. You know?
Right.
I just put it in the oven. You know, it's hot right now. It's not there yet, you know. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good because I never let, although I haven't moved out of Africa, moved out of Nigeria, I never left the African frame of mind. Africa never left me, you know. Rather, Africa never left me. And it's been in there bowling to come out. But being signed to a mainstream label in the United States, you know, you can't provide that kind of music. You have to kind of prove yourself first before they let you write whatever you want to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it goes. You know, you do what they want you to do until you can do what you want to do.
Right.
So I feel I'm at that point where I can now, you know, I've kind of proven, you know, my quality in terms of writing pop songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that position where I can now reach back and write music that I feel is truly, you know, authentically African.
Right.
And not face any blowback from the label for not being commercial or whatever, because I've already built a fan base. So whatever I produce, my hope is that it will support me, and hopefully it will, you know, support what I have.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you may be sleep a little bit, but sometimes it's kind of hard for labels, and I'm speaking as a label. Sometimes it's hard for labels in terms of the demographics and the marketing portion of it, you know, and a lot of them, that's what it boils down to. How do we market this? How do we sell this? You know, and they tend to want to go with easy and formal. They already have the machinery in place.
That is true. I mean, it's like, you know, they want you to, you know, to have done all the work before they come in, you know. But if I've done all the work, why do I need you at this point, you know? They want something that's easy. They can just push a button and boom, you know.
My take on that is money only means something to the people that don't have it. It don't mean nothing to the people that do. And nowadays, it's a lot easier to roll with a winning project that already has potential than gamble on something that may or may not make it. Well, I think we got another caller. Let me see who this may be, and let me let them in. 704, you're online with K. Diddy and Riz.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Riz, earlier you get inspiration from the things around you, like your trip to Saint-Tropez. Are there any artists that inspire you, and if so, what have you pulled from their sound or their style?
Can I hear me? Who am I talking with?
Hello.
Can I know your name? Who are we talking with?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's your name?
This is Angie from Los Angeles.
Hello, Angie. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. My question is, you said that you pull inspiration from things around you, like your trip to Saint-Tropez. My question is, are there any artists that you also pull inspiration from? And if so, have you borrowed anything from their sound or their style and incorporated it into your music?
In terms of borrowing or paying homage, I'm a big fan of Motown, everything Motown, you know, from Smokey to the Temps. You could go on and on, Aretha Franklin. Everything Motown did was amazing in my book. And the song I did with Pitbull, Dance With Me, also took inspiration from Keep Me Hanging On from Supreme. So in that sense, yeah, I always look to what has come before me to inspire me. Definitely the Motown era was big in my book. But also the greatest, you know, Michael Jackson has always been my favorite too. And again, I can't write or sing like Michael, but I can damn well try. So he inspires me. But also I like to travel and go to places that are beautifully, you know, scenically beautiful. Because just looking at nature also inspires me. So everything around me inspires me. And if I'm in the hood, I'll turn out right into music, you know. So it depends on where I am, but everything inspires me. But the greatest, Michael Jackson, The Temptations, Smokey Robinson, Luther Vandross, and definitely Bob Marley also. Those are my inspiration, musical inspiration. Hello?
Hello, Andrew. You still there?
You still there? Hello?
Hello. I guess you're not there.
Was I just talking to myself in the last 10 minutes?
No, maybe she'll call. Well, maybe she'll call back then.
Well, I'm sure she listened. She heard. She heard the answer. So it's all good. So all
right.
Thanks for calling, Angie.
Yeah.
Angie from Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, she'll probably call back then. Listen, man, tell me something. You know what I wanted to ask you. Well, we know you're a writer, singer, hip-hop artist, dancer. How do you feel about your live performances? Do you enjoy your live performances?
Live performances are quite tricky. And I'm always nervous until I get on stage, and then I'm no longer nervous. Everything building up to me actually stepping on stage is, like, actually nerve-wracking for me. But I feel... Once I get on stage, I get that support back from the audience, and that helps me, you know, turn everything out, you know, tune out all the anxiety or apprehension prior to stepping on stage. And then I just let the audience inspire me. You know, I can bring somebody on stage, you know, or I let the actual stage inspire me. Whatever is, whatever props are on stage, you know, I can interact with that. But I do have, you know, a set default show that I travel with my DJ and everything. But again, the arena, the stage, the club, the venue is going to dictate, you know, the exact particulars of how I perform.
Do you grace the stage itself, or do you have dancers with you, or are you pretty much, you know, you're solo on the stage?
Again, that depends on where I am. If I'm doing shows, like, locally or close to, you know, where I'd be at, then I have my team, you know, that can come with me and
right.
do stuff. Or I'm, like, you know, in Japan or some random place where I'm kind of, like, you know, a novice to that area, then I just kind of go with my DJ, you know, just do our thing, you know. But when I go to Africa, or if I do like an MTV, you know, award show, they usually provide, you know, they have like backup dancers
right.
on deck already that you can just tap into. They can
right.
run your routine, you know, and support you.
So what do you see? What's in store for Riz now? I mean, what do you have in the near future? That I know you got today planned. I mean, what do you got going on now?
Well, right now, you know, I'm in talks with some big labels to put out like a, you know, a major worldwide record. Nothing's penned yet, nothing's signed yet, but I'm looking at 2014 as being, you know, by the summer of 2014, I'm hoping to own the summer of 2014. That's kind of like my goal. Hopefully Summer Love would lend to that. But yeah, I've kind of like been working on my next album, and I have about 100 songs written, recorded, and produced, ready to go. Going to whittle that down to about 10 or 12. And that's where I'm going, you know. I'm trying to mix music also with technology, you know, because I'm also taking technology and everything is moving like mobile right now. So I'm trying to, you know, bring that together with what I do musically. Because I think creativity can be expressed, you know, via technology, via programming, or via writing music, you know. So I'm trying to bring those both together in my next, you know, project. So that's the future for me, you know, technology, a tech-inspired, you know, album or project, you know, to put out for me.
Let me ask you a question out of left field. What do you think is the next big technology to hit should I say the United States? Should I say hit the world? What do you think the next big technology is?
I think it's going to be wearable technology, you know, like the Google glasses, the smart watches, you know, just anything that takes you away from having to, you know, look at your phone, you know, but just gives you the information, right, kind of like literally at your fingertips, you know, or in your eyeball. I think that's where it's going. I've been testing some technology for Google with the Google Glass, and it's so immersive. It's like the technology is all around you. You know, it becomes kind of like part of you. I think that's where technology is going. The friction between user and device is going to be eliminated, you know, and you just access your information like that, you know, either on a ring or wearing or the device in your ear or something in your eyes or on your wrist, you know. So I think that's where technology is going. It's going to be all wearable.
What do you think about the hologram technology in homes?
In homes?
Where you can see a Riz show in your living room.
You know, if you're familiar with, you know, like the Japanese music scene, holograms have been like, they're like huge artists that are holograms, you know.
Right.
And this has been going on for like 6-7 years, you know. I was in Japan 2 years ago and went to a concert, and the main star was a hologram, you know, like an anime hologram, and the fans were nuts, went crazy. So I think hologram has huge potential for entertainment, you know, or for an artist to be able to be in more than one place at a time, or for an artist that has, you know, departed us, kind of like come back and
right.
do something, you know.
Have a Luther Vandross in your living room.
Exactly, you know, have a little device, you know, it's kind of like iTunes start selling, you know, Luther Vandross life, you know.
I want to have this. Picture a little gadget in it, set up your ceiling, shoot the beam down, and
uh-huh.
just like a projector.
Yeah.
That's your artist right there in the living room. And you subscribe
uh-huh.
to this through Cox Cable, whatever cable company, cable buyer.
Yeah.
It's just like you buy any other service, any football game, you can
uh-huh.
run this concert and have your actual show in the privacy of your home. That's going to be huge.
That's a huge market
huge.
Right there. That's not
huge.
Even on tap potential right there.
So if any of our listeners hear some of this stuff, figure out how we can pay for this, we just want to cut. we ain't greedy. We share around here, but we just want our cut, just so you know. So you got to take this road with
I heard you.
You know?
Yeah, that's the future, though. That's an amazing product, right there, you know. You know, instead of having just listen to
MP3s,
you know, actually experience.
Yeah, just think about that, man. You can be sitting right in your living room, dude, and order Earth, Wind, and Fire and have a whole concert like that in your living room, man. You
wow.
Still be sitting there with your PJs on, man.
or you get woken up to like a Michael Jackson song or something.
Exactly.
Michael Jackson standing
exactly.
Right there.
Exactly.
Billy Jean for you.
You
be there. That's work time.
You gotta be there.
You gotta get to work.
We're talking about the music, y'all. So this is not an X-ray show. So of course, y'all can be clear on that one. We're talking about NJ now.
That's funny.
So tell us, listen, we got another song for you, Tango. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's actually great. We're talking about technology and music. Tango was a song that I did for the mobile application called Tango. It currently has about 150 million users. So they approached me and asked me, hey, can you write a song about our platform, about using our platform that we can send
like
on
video conferencing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you check your app, you have to check your Tango app. You actually see a promotional video from me in Tango sent to you.
Okay.
Send it out to about 150 million users. So they approached me, the marketing manager at Perch was a fan of what I've done in the past, and she asked me to do a song about my experience with Tango. So I used Tango for about a month,
mm-hmm.
Got a vibe for it, got a feel for it, and wrote a song, recorded and produced a song about it. And then Tango, and this is the first time this has ever been done. Tango released the song officially through Tango, through the Tango app, sent it out to, 150 million, 30, 40 million users. And we did a little promotional video for the song. And it's been a huge success within Tango.
Wow.
Yeah, a huge success. So you can only access the song from within the Tango app and share it with Tango users. Tango was doing a campaign with Spotify, so this was a way to launch, their venture into kind of the music realm of things, So to use my project to do that.
Oh, that's hot, man. That's huge, man.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And one thing, the potential for that is, a label, their job is to try to get your music out to people, right?
Right.
But an app like Tango or WhatsApp or Viber, they already have 150 million captive users
exactly.
in their platform. All they need to do is push a button, and 150 million people are listening to your song. And that's the power of technology. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I'm trying to bring music and technology together.
Right.
And to get that with this song, it's been a great success.
And that's wonderful, dude. I tell a lot of people, too. I have a class artist. Some of the class artists that I interview and deal with, they're so computer illiterate, and it's almost sad. And I kind of remind them of what happened with the dinosaurs, Some of these guys still, they're very successful. I'm talking about multi-platinum gold artists, man, but when it comes to using the computer, they're totally illiterate, man. I'm like, well, can you send me a couple of MP3s? And, they don't really know how to say, I don't know how to send you an MP3. It's all right, man, like it's to you. But in the meantime, they want to ask somebody else, could they do it? And then they find out they feel embarrassed again for not knowing how to do it.
Yeah.
So 2 or 3 weeks later, I still haven't gotten the music, and I can't understand why. So now I'm thinking, well, are they busy? Are they not busy? They can't do it. They don't care. But
yeah.
It's really not that. They just miss that whole learning curve.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember when I first got started doing stuff in the music stuff, we used to take, a week, 2 weeks to send a CD to Japan,
mm-hmm.
and now you can have it there in, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The industry has changed tremendously to me for the better.
Oh, yeah.
Because of technology.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
You know.
I think technology has made, has broken down the barriers to get into music, for better or for worse. It means everybody and mom can make music, make what they think is music and put it out there.
Exactly.
But also, it means the talented artists that never, got access to the major label can also reach us, the good and the bad. So I think technology is definitely the future of music. And with this partnership with Tango, that kind of demonstrates, how music and technology can go hand in hand,
Yeah, now that's huge. That's huge. We're going to put it in, ladies and gentlemen, let the windows down, turn the air conditioner up, and turn the music up. You know what we do. This tango, y'all, this is it.
And get turned up.
Sleepy Love from Sweden, France, and you are listening to I Am Indy on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Kay Biddy. Yeah, it's a world movement thing, moving the world with their music.
Yeah, we back live with Riz in the building, and just got to listen to Tango. You just telling me the backstory on Tango, man, and that was very exciting and impressive, and to know that song is being played and millions can hear it.
150 million.
Wow, those are big, those are really big right now. Before I forget, you know, I just want to throw this out there too. I know we were speaking a little bit earlier about your other songs, which have your traditional African feel. You know, I know when we get together in the future, man, I got to hear that because of the film that we're working on, and I think some of your music would definitely fit. You know, the young lady that the story's about, she's her parents from Africa, think Liberia. And so she came to New York. So it's a very strong, powerful story. It's a Britney Harris story. I mean, you can see it on Snap. It's been on Oxygen. We have a nonprofit associated with that, too, called Humanitarian for Sexually Abused Children. which is trying to help children all fall from the planet that's been abused, molested, and, you know, trafficked and stuff. So we're really passionate about helping kids, you know, because the children are our future everything. So we're really trying to do some powerful things and help them with their future. And,
well, definitely. It sounds like a great opportunity. Let me discuss that with my partner. I think, you know, we should come, you know, play you some stuff. We do everything together musically and everything we do. We own a label together. So we have a catalog of music that we've done, and we can come check, you know, play some of that for you. You can check it out and see what you like. And if everything seems right, you know, everything kosher.
Well, it can't be that much kosher because white is the only way to do it. And I wanted to mention earlier, too, we have Bill Summers. He's one of my partners working on the soundtrack, and he fired him from Color Purple and Roots with Quincy Jones. So we did a lot of underscoring with that. So we got some other heavy producers working with us on the soundtrack, and he's very knowledgeable about African percussion. So that's his specialty.
Okay.
And,
set it up.
This guy, Muyungo. I mean, they specialize in, you know, African percussion and bodies and all the little sounds and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I like to see these guys work, man.
Definitely. You know, set it up. Let me know when you can come by, you know, from both of us can come by. I can come by the studio, you know, drop a voice track for you, check them out, and let us know what you're feeling, you know. And if there's a certain direction you're trying to go that we haven't touched the point, you know, we can actually work that in and try to figure out how to make something that might be specific for this, you know. So everything is open.
Did I say something about Platinum Records?
Sorry?
Did I say something about Platinum Records?
Where do we want to go? I'm sorry. My mind is just for a minute, though.
We're going diamond back here. Forget about
flat. As long as we don't go wood.
We don't go wood.
I asked the dude, I said, man, how'd your last record go? He said, man, I didn't even go wood.
What is that?
Actually a thing? Like, go wood?
No.
Like,
no, wood is when you didn't come out cardboard. Wood is when you don't come out of the box. We ain't even talking about getting on the shelf.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm still in my line. Oh, man. It's great, man. Definitely happy and glad to be able to have this opportunity, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm very impressed because you find a lot of artists. They finally went into the business, man, but they didn't prepare themselves. They don't prepare, you know.
And I think doing my bit in college, you know, doing my time in college definitely helped prepare me for the music business because it's a business, you know.
It is a business.
An art form, you know, it's a business part of it. And having that education behind you, you know, lets you better navigate the, you know, those stormy, shark-infested waters, you know, that's called the music industry. Someone's trying to get you, you know. Every deal is trying to screw you over one way or the other. So having that basic knowledge of, you know, of how business, you know, should be operated, you know, helps you go a long way.
No question. I tell people all the time that this is a business. You know, this is a music business. It's not a music play. You know, it's
a music hobby.
No, it's a business. Because if you don't know the business, man, I ask these artists, I mean, you know, they don't even know what an IFRC code is. And I'm like, if you don't know what that is, I mean, How are they talking to your music? I mean, how are they tracking your music? I mean, anything. You don't even know that. I mean, how could you be putting music out and you want to talk about why you're not getting paid? But this is the number one thing that kills me.
Yeah.
They call me every day and say, hey, man, I need a paying job. Man, I need a gig. Man, I need to go play somewhere so I can perform.
Uh-huh.
And then my next question is, who knows you? Have you been having branding with yourself? I mean, they take no time branding itself. And now, here's another thing, goes back to your thing about technology. I mean, the benefit of social network, you know, we started out in the game, we didn't have social network.
Yeah.
You know, we had flyers,
uh-huh.
We could sit them on the side of the building, we had posters, but we didn't have Facebook, MySpace, Reverb Nation, Twitter. We didn't have all that stuff. So there's no reason, there's no excuse for any artist not spending time branding himself.
And it's free.
At least an hour a day, sit on the computer and do something.
Yeah.
And then the first thing they want to say is, I want to get paid, but who's going to pay to come see you if they don't know you?
Yeah. Yeah,
who are you going to pay to go see if you don't know is the question. I mean, so it's, again, man, I applaud you for taking time, and I definitely applaud you for taking your butt to
I applaud you, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Right now,
I know going up, you probably didn't really see the value.
Nope.
But
nope.
Looking back at it now,
oh, yeah.
I know you see that.
Appreciate it. Much appreciated, yeah. I mean, your parents know best, you know.
And while listening, if you're tuned in late, the show's in archive, you can go back and listen to it. And, hey, this young man got a lot to offer, a lot to give. And he definitely got something between his ears, you know. So, y'all that don't have something between your ears, you need to go ask somebody. Definitely, man. I want to thank you again. I want to thank the people for making it possible to come
Thanks,
down.
Man. Thanks for giving us the opportunity, man. Appreciate it.
And we will be seeing you soon. And we'll be
most definitely
music soon.
Yes.
And one thing.
Uh-huh.
Everybody that played music want to be in the film and TV and the movies. Everybody want to be in the movies, film and TV, want to do music. But I have not heard you tell me anything about any aspirations that you may have to be on TV or any movie.
I don't have any aspirations to be on TV or any movies, but I've financed and produced movies actually in the past and projects. So I'm more behind the scene. I'm not trying to. That's not my craft, you know. But I understand the artistry of, you know, production, and I actually went to school. That's what I studied in school, cinema and television art. So I've produced in the past, but I'm not trying to be an actor. But producing, you know, making being an executive producer of my record is just kind of the same thing as being an executive producer of a show or a movie. We actually did a movie called Black Gold. It's a movie about the Niger Delta and Nigeria oil, you know, industry and all the turmoil, all the curses and problems it's brought to Africa, and also on the other flip side, all the blessings that, you know, select few have been able to achieve from it. So it's called Black November, that's what it's called, and it stars Michael Maston, Mickey Rourke, Kim Basinger, Vivica Fox, a whole host of people, and that was a great production. So I do have aspirations in movie and TV, in entertainment generally, but not to be an actor or be an artist. I think being, you know, an artist is enough of being a person, you know, people and being, you know, a performer. I don't want to try to, you know, do everything at the same time.
I just did a show with a T.I. a couple of weeks ago. I was on House of Lies, which is going to be airing next month. But for our listeners out there.
Was it a show when they had that, you know, shootout?
It ain't showed yet. It's going to be on. So, yeah, that's for sure, though, but it's going to be on your head.
Was that your situation?
No. I'm going to go on before that.
Okay.
Listen, this is going to be on school, because it's going to be the next superstar right here, the next big mega movie
Amen.
So, hey, look, the next mega movie star, and that's because he don't want to do it. That's because he don't want to do it. See, like, well, he don't want to be a movie star, but those are ones that end up being the big block office sensation.
Funny how that happened, huh?
Yeah, you know, because the ones that don't want to do it is the ones that end up blowing up, and the ones that have been trying every day for it. They feel as bleachers.
As long as you're just passionate about the craft, you know, and not trying to hold fame or money, you know, everything will come to you. Now, I believe that. Just, you know, be true to yourself and not do it for the money. Do it because you love it. Not do it for the fame. Do it because you love creating stuff. And whatever interpretation of that becomes, be it movies or music or, you know, technology, you'll be successful in that as long as you're not, your goal and your driving impetus to do it is not money or fame. You know, I think, you know, your path will be smoother if you're not looking for that, those two things. And I think you're one of the fame and money, fame, you know.
I agree wholeheartedly. I agree. Well, all right, Mr. Williams, I'm going to thank you again. And, hey, we'll be checking with you soon.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for giving me this, you know, hour of your time, hour of your ears. I appreciate it, and look out for my project, Riz, coming to a mobile phone, you know, close to you, on your CDs and your iPods, on your A-track, wherever you want to find me.
Oh, before you go, I'm sorry, man. We got another call right here before we go. I need to see it.
I'm sorry, 937, you're on live. What's up, 937?
Yeah, hey. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Charlie Starr. I did have a question. Are you going to incorporate any instruments from other countries, like sitars or the different kind of horns that some of the tribes have?
Yeah, actually, I'm incorporating a lot of bongo drums, a lot of African, you know, tabla drums in my music. And, again, as I travel, like I said, I get inspiration from where I am. So if I'm in a place where I'm getting influenced by a lot of sitar, which would probably be like in India or somewhere like that, you know, then, yeah, I would influence, put that into my music. But right now I've been spending a lot of time in Africa, and that's where I grew up also. So I love the drums, the bongo drums, and the way they sound. So that kind of stuff would definitely make its way into my music. I mean, that those kind of drums have actually been making their way into my dance music for the mainstream stuff. If you listen to my song with Pitbull, it's got a lot of bongo drums if you really listen to it. So there's always that, you know, African or, you know, tribal influence in everything I do. Sometimes it's subtle, like in the mainstream stuff, but now I'm trying to make it more overt in the new stuff I'm trying to put out.
Okay. That sounds great.
Thanks,
oh,
Paul.
You guys are echoing. You guys have an echo.
That's because we're live and in charge.
Thank you. You answered my question.
Okay.
My pleasure. You're welcome.
Right. Well, Kool-Aid. All righty then. Let's see what else we got. We're going to keep the show moving with a little stuff like that. We're going to play something about one of my old groups.
Hey, hey. please, please do me a favor. You should happen to see my baby somewhere. Would you please tell her I'm waiting with open arms? Would you please make my dreams come true?
Happening. This Smoke the Low giving a big shout out to K Diddy. Stay up, man. I am indie.biz. It's World Movement Records on the rise all the time. We stay up, we stay strong. Ain't no stopping. Say, God wants you to be either hot or cold. He don't want you to be lukewarm. So whatever you do, you make sure you do it. Do it right. I can't afford to throw caution to the wind. You see, I'm a three-strike candidate. I conduct myself in an orderly fashion and secure all of my battleships, rejuvenate off of any fracture. See, I'm so spectacular that I can create a massacre by utilizing my vernacular. People in my profession don't mess with no scary people. Our work isn't very legal, our tools are deemed very lethal. We know how to bury people, completely erase identities with business-like mentalities and homicidal tendencies. See, all of my associates are considered to be superior. Approach strong if you're inferior and will leave your brains on your interior. I know people that's into robbing, pimping, and selling colossal stones. See, I'll be on something different. I'll turn you into a fossil, homie. When it comes to elimination, no hesitation, I get to popping on him, metamorphing to a tank, rolling over anything that's blocking on me. Hoping y'all get this, man. Let's say all or nothing, that's what I mean. You see, all or nothing is the way I choose to live this day by day. And now I pray to end my strife and adversaries in my life. Nothing is the way I choose to live this day by day. And now I pray to end my strife and adversaries in my life. If I have reason to believe the reward has less value than the consequence, I'll go ahead and let it slide, but recognize that's common sense. It's obvious that I was tense. I would have ran if I was him, but the chances of him getting hurt by me right now is probably slim. Depending on my mood, I remain mild in situations. As God's child, I'll still be facing different trials and tribulations, but I still smile on these occasions. If I frown, may he erase it. If I frown, may he erase it. If I frown, may he erase it. I put it down on many cases. Bullets found in many places. He set me down in what he says. Acknowledge me in all your ways. I gave you talent on these faces. So slow down before you waste it. So slow down before you waste it. So slow down before you waste it. I then diverted my train of thought. Discovered ways to pay the cost. At certain times I gained a profit. At other times obtained a loss. But I ain't came to play the pulse. I played a game. The game was sold. I gained the same and came to stay and keep my anger in a vault. All or nothing is the way I choose to live this day by day. And now I pray to end my strife and adversaries in my life.